a man who was, actually it was three people on an airplane, the pilot. And the airplane started to go down, and there was only three parachutes. And so the pilot, he took one, and he jumped. So that left two parachutes. And then there was a man, he said, well, I'm the smartest man in the world, and the world really couldn't do without me. And so he took one, and he jumped. So there was a little boy, and there was a man that was left. And they were trying to figure out, you know, which one would have the last parachute. And the little boy said to the man, he said, you don't have to worry about anything. He said, because the smartest man in the world just took my backpack. So,
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Where is Your Security? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Where is Your Security?
I want to speak to you on this subject today. Where is your security? Where is your security? I had the opportunity, as many of you know, and I'll be sharing throughout the upcoming weeks, my visit to Israel. And one of the places that we had a chance to go, just an awesome, awesome place, was Masada. And Masada is a mountain fortress on the western shore of the Dead Sea. So when you get up at the top of Masada, you can look out and you can actually see the Dead Sea. It was created by Herod. Herod actually went up onto Masada, and he created it as a place of escape from his enemies. That Herod was an Idumean, and he was placed as ruler over the Jewish people. So there was a lot of hatred towards Herod, and so he was always fearful. So he had several places, and Masada was one of them where he could escape to and be protected from his enemies. The amazing thing, and we saw this when we were up there, is that there was actually storage places where they could store grain and they could store water and actually live at the top of Masada for years. So they could be up there for years without having to come down. And it said that Masada was impregnable. That means that no one had access to Masada. Now, Herod, as I said, was the individual that was responsible for building Masada. And there's a couple things that we want to point out about Herod. And again, as I said, he was appointed by the Roman government to rule over Judea, which is the area of Israel. Now, Herod, he was insecure. Herod was so insecure that he had about five mountain fortresses like Masada. And again, he built these mountain fortresses to protect him from his enemies. As a matter of fact, he was so threatened by two of his sons that he killed them because, you know, he felt that they were a threat to him. And not only he had 10 wives, and several of his wives he killed because they were a little aggressive, and he thought that at some point they might try to take over his kingdom. As a matter of fact, his one wife, I believe it was Miriam II, that he loved her so much that he killed her. But he loved her so much that he entombed her in honey to preserve her so that, he could continue to admire her. Now, you may remember, it was said of Herod that because he killed two of his sons, that it's better to be Herod's pig than to be his son. And so that was very offensive to the Jewish people as far as Herod being their king. Now, we all may remember Herod for feeling threatened when he heard that Jesus was born. And you remember the wise men came, and he called the wise men, had an audience with them, and he said to the wise men, after you worship him, let me know where he's at so that I can come and worship him too. But Herod didn't really want to worship him. Again, remember, Herod was very insecure. And so the fact that there would be a king of the Jews that would be uprising was a threat to his throne. And so when the wise men kicked him to the curb, actually Herod got upset and he went down into Bethlehem and he killed all the children under 2 years old, again, because of his insecurity. And so what did Herod build in order to comfort and ease his insecurities? He built Masada. Now, the one on the left, or on the left, that is the way Masada looks today, the ruins of Masada. But when I was up on top of Masada, they actually had a model of what it looked like in Herod's day, and that's the one on the right. And so you could see that Herod, man, you know, he was protected, that no one could get up in there. And so, you know, he felt very secure. And as a matter of fact, Herod slept in one of the rooms, as you see those three levels that came down, that his bedroom was on one of those rooms because there was a nice cool breeze that blew through there. And so when we look at Masada, what does Masada represent? Masada represents security. It represents security. And as we think about security, we are all concerned about security. Just think of some of the areas of security that we are concerned about. Computer security. You got McAfee and Norton and all these antiviruses and all these programs that you put on your computer to keep it from getting a virus, to keep somebody from hacking. Why do you do that? Because you want computer security. You want internet security, to have the ability to be able to surf the net knowing that you are secure, that you can go. Now, I know some of you haven't got to this point yet and you're not going to do it, but to actually do your online banking. That you want to know that you can do your online banking with security. There's data security. There's information security. You know, you might be surprised if you go to some websites and you type in your name and you realize the information that's out there on you. They not only have your name and where you live, but they also have where you work, and this is a scary thing. They also have how much you make, you know, right there for everybody to see. So we want information security. You know, traveling to Israel, you know, one of the things that I wanted was what? Airport security. You know, you wanted to know that, you know, when you got on that plane, that you were safe and secure. As we think about the world around us, we want environmental security. We don't want to breathe in toxins and pollutants in the air. So there's environmental security. There's also, and many of you here probably have home security. You've got alarms. You've got cameras. In your home. Why? Because you want to feel safe and secure in your home. There's physical security. We have homeland security, so we can feel safe in the United States. There's international security. Again, traveling to Israel. And I just want to say this, that for those of you who may be concerned, that Israel is probably the safest place in the world to travel to. I know that we get a lot of bad reports and things of that nature. But when I was over there, you know, they got young people, look like teenagers, walking around with machine guns, you know, just about everywhere. You know, we were stopping, taking pictures with the soldiers. And, you know, one of the things that they want to make sure is because tourism is their main industry. So if you got people coming over there getting hurt, if you got tourists getting hurt, then that's, so they want to make sure that you are secure when you're in Israel. They're going to make sure that you're safe while you're there. So there's international security. All of us want what? Financial security. You know, we want to know that when we come to the end, when we retire or when we come to the end, that our finances don't come short and that our money don't get funny and our dough don't get low. We want to make sure that we have financial security. And all of us, you know, think about social security. is something that, you know, I know that I'm getting in that realm. I just turned 63 this year, so, you know, I guess I can tap into that resource, Social Security. And somebody said, well, you better do it because we don't know how much longer it's going to be there. So even Social Security is not really secure. And so, you know, I put all this up here to show that as people, we are concerned about security. But the sad thing is that many of us have put our faith in false security. You know, there was a man who was, three people on an airplane, the pilot, and the airplane started to go down. And there was only three parachutes. And so the pilot, he took one, and he jumped. So that left two parachutes. And then there was a man, he said, well, I'm the smartest man in the world. And the world really couldn't do without me. And so he took one, and he jumped. So there was a little boy, and there was a man that was left. And they were trying to figure out, you know, which one would have the last parachute. And the little boy said to the man, he said, you don't have to worry about anything. He said, because the smartest man in the world just took my backpack. So so false security. So some people have a sense of false security. But when we look at the word security, security is the state of being secure, free from danger, free from fear or anxiety. And in some situations, freedom, this was the definition in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, freedom from the prospect of being laid off, job security. And so when we think about security, we think about Masada, because Masada represented a place of security. So as we move on in the message this morning, where is security found? Where will you find security? Is security found in people? Can you find security in people? And you know, there are some good people who, you know, we can trust. You know, hopefully those close to us, we can trust to some level, and we feel a certain degree of security around certain individuals in our lives. But let's examine this whole concept of security in people. Have you ever been let down by your spouse? Oh, I didn't mean for anybody. Have you ever been let down by your parent? Have you ever been let down by your child? Have you ever been let down by your best friend, an employer, your neighbor, or your coworker? And so we see that as much faith and trust as we put in people around us, at some point we have to be honest and say that to some degree, everybody around us in our life has at one point let us down. And so the psalmist says, Lord, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. That the help of man can only go so far. As much as we appreciate it, as blessed as we are, that the help of man can only go so far. So when we look at ultimate security, when we talk about 100% security, we have to come to the conclusion that it cannot be found in human beings, that the arm of the flesh will fail you every time. There was a young man, he told this young lady, he said that you can always trust me, and I will love you until the end of time. And after being in a relationship a couple of months, he said, now I'm praying for the end of time to come. Here was a young man that said that he would take care of this young lady, that she could trust him. if she would give herself to him, that she could trust him. But the trust waned. So we need to see. Again, I don't, because I've been helped by many individuals. I've been helped by a lot of people. So, you know, I don't want to say that the help of man is totally inadequate. All I'm saying is that at some point, the arm of the flesh will fail you. At some point, we can all look at people in our lives and see that some shape or form that they have let us down. And so security, ultimate security, cannot be found in people. Can security be found in possessions or prosperity? Lee Iacocca, who was one of the greatest businessmen to walk across the face of this earth, he said this. He said, most people are looking for security, a nice, safe, prosperous future. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's called the American dream. That the American dream is to have possessions and to be prosperous. But you remember in Luke chapter 12, there was a man who was blessed, and he got so much that he said, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns. And you know that you got a problem when you start talking to yourself. And he said, soul, thou hast done well. And so he was feeding his ego. He was stroking his ego. And the scripture says in verse 20 of Luke chapter 12, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the fact of the matter is that any one of us in the snap of a finger could lose all that we have. Dave Ramsey, whose course we use here at Bethany Baptist Church called Financial Peace, is well known all over the world, has probably the number one financial program in the churches today. At age 26, Dave Ramsey was making $20,000 a month. He was driving a Jaguar. He was taking trips everywhere, and he boasted about taking trips to Hawaii. And Dave Ramsey said of him and his wife, we are living the American dream. We are living the American dream. Dave Ramsey had it all. And after that point, twice, Dave Ramsey filed for bankruptcy. You can lose it. You know people that was riding high and got shot down. You can lose everything that you have in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so you can put your faith, look at this man. You know, he put his faith in his possessions, in his prosperity, and yet still, when he was called to go meet his maker, he went before him absolutely naked. And I've said this on many occasions, and you've probably heard it before, that I've yet to see a hearse on the way to the cemetery pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. And the fact of the matter is that you can lose it in a moment. Have you ever been there? Maybe we have testimony from someone here today that you lost it in a moment. I just think about, you know, all those people who signed up with Bernie Madoff, and they put their retirement, they invested their retirement, they gave it to him, and then the next thing they know, they had absolutely nothing. They lost it all. And so we see that our security is not found in our possessions, neither in our prosperity. I was, when I was in Israel, they only had three American stations, and one of the stations was National Geographic. And usually I don't watch it, but so I was forced to watch it over there. But Shaq was on there, and he was he was hunting bears, and him and this other guy, they were out there, you know, in the wilderness hunting bears. And, you know, Shaq, man, you know, he was dealing with his fear. But after the program was over, and so Shaq said something after the program was over, and it caught my attention more than anything he said during the program. He said that when he first went to the NBA, that, you know, he was buying cars. He said he bought his mother a $400,000 vehicle. And he said that his dad said, well, where's mine at? And so, you know, he went and bought a vehicle for his dad, and he was buying them homes and things of that. And then all of a sudden, Shaq got a call, and it said, man, you're broke. You're broke. And he said, that's when I woke up and realized that I needed to, you know, get a financial advisor and begin to manage my money wisely. But here was a man that had millions of dollars, and he was broke. He was broke. Your security is not found in your possessions. Your security, where can I find security? Is my security found in my plans? And it says, many are the plans of man, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. And we can think that we have, you know, all these beautiful plans, and we have laid out all these, figured out every corner and figured out all the stuff that's before us, and we got these beautiful plans, but the scripture says many are the plans of man. And so when I was studying this, the Proverbs, the commentators were saying that the implication here is that many are the plans of man, and many of them fall. Many of them fall. Now, you know, this might not be an applicable illustration, but I just wanted to put this up there. So if you look at recently, Sears, Delta, Best Buy, Kmart, Panera Bread, and we could go on. And there's one thing that they all have in common, and that is that they're computers, their information system was hacked, and there was a data breach. And so as elaborate as all the computer systems that these big organizations have, your information wasn't secure. And so people began to scramble, you know, wondering if their information had been hacked when they put all these things on the TV and showed how that somebody had breached the information. And so when we think about the best plans and of corporations, of businesses, when we think about those things, that they are not insecure. I mean, they are not secure. Security is not found in plans. Security is not found, as we're going to see here, in position or power. It's not found in position or power. In Daniel chapter 4, we see Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of my might and my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth. The king, he had power, he had position. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claw. That he was not secure in his position. He was not secure in his power. That he lost his position. He lost his power, and he was forced to go out.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Where is Your Security? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Where is Your Security? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Where is Your Security? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Where is Your Security? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.